Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to It's Real Talk Radio, NFL Weekly Wrap-Up 2014 Pro Bowl Edition. So tonight we'll be discussing the 2014 Pro Bowl and all of the action that went on. I'm your host, T. Real.
Yeah, and I'm your co-host, Big Rand.
Big Rand is in the building, and we're here. I mean, you know, it was a hectic week for both of us, Big Ryan, and, you know, we supposed to have done the show last night, but I fell asleep. But before then, you know, your hectic work schedule, this was so much going on, man, and we finally got to do the show because I was like, we got to do this show before the Super Bowl, which is Sunday. Like, we had to do the show before the Super Bowl because once, like, Saturday night comes, Sunday morning, nobody's thinking about anything other than the Super Bowl. So, you know, we grinded.
Exactly.
Just know, y'all, we grinded around each other's work schedules to make this happen. So though the show was airing later than expected, we grinded hard to make sure that we brought y'all this Pro Bowl edition of NFL Weekly Wrap-Up.
Yeah, man, it was tough.
No doubt, man. And this Pro Bowl was definitely an interesting one. We're going to get into all of that. But before we get into that, I just want to say, if you're a sports fan, make sure you check out UltimateSportsTalk.com. I promise you, they got something for each and everybody. Big Rand, let them know.
Well, no doubt, man. You can log on to UltimateSportsTalk.com for exciting news and updates on all of the nation's top sports, including NFL, NBA, MLB, NCAA, and much more.
Yes, sir. And with that being said, it's time to get to the action. Now, I don't think it's any surprise to any of the diehard football fans out there that the Pro Bowl was lacking over recent years. It was threatened to be taken away by the NFL commissioner. If they didn't change the way they play and raise the intensity, because just, what was that, 2 years ago, 2012 Pro Bowl, when they were, like, pretty much jogging and almost not even tackling, kind of, like, just grabbing each other, just kind of falling, like, you know? Like, there was not a lot of effort going on. I think people just stopped taking the Pro Bowl serious and, you know, the ratings went down, the play, the intensity, everything just went down. And so it was, you know, the defense wasn't playing hard, offense was just jogging around. It was starting to become real, real nasty. You know, it just wasn't good for the sport. You know, Big Man?
Definitely, man. Had they not fixed it, you know, or tried to, you know, shake things up a little bit, I'm pretty sure Goodell would have just gotten rid of it, man. It was terrible. It was hard to watch. The last Pro Bowl you're referring to.
Disgraceful to the sport. I was like, what in the world? Like, I didn't see it live, but when I seen the highlights, I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't see this Pro Bowl. This is ridiculous. And I think a big part of it has to do with these big contracts that these players are signing. And, you know, football is not the same thing as basketball. Basketball players can play the All-Star game. They can start their starters. You know, even if the All-Star weekend was, like, right before the NBA Finals, like, the players would be able to play. Like, the teams that's in the finals would be able to play because it's not that high of a risk of injury. It's always a risk, but nowhere near, like, the risk that football brings. And so, you know, when they switched the Pro Bowl to before the Super Bowl, now the teams that are in the Super Bowl, their players can't play. And on top of that, these big contracts that these players are committed to, and I'm pretty sure they're like, stipulations in the contracts that's like, you know, well, you make X amount of money for each game. So I'm not sure. I haven't read the contracts myself, but I'm pretty sure for each game you miss money. And if you miss a certain amount of games, you'll definitely, like, if you miss a playoff game, I'm pretty sure that's a nice paycheck you're probably missing. And on top of that, you don't want to let your team down. On top of the money, you don't want to let your team down. Like, a Super Bowl, like, we got a chance to, like, you know, like, you just can't, like, risk it, you know? You know what I mean? And even right. If your team isn't in a Super Bowl, then you're thinking about next season. If I get, like, a big injury, like a Achilles heel type of injury or, you know, something like that, like a big one, ACL tear, like something that'll have you out for a long time and maybe going into next season, they don't want to take that risk. So that's why I believe over recent years the players in the Pro Bowl have not been playing as hard as we like. Big Rand, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you did all the money with that. Now, I'm sure we would hate for any of our favorite football players to injure themselves, you know, at a game that necessarily or really doesn't mean much to them anyway, and it doesn't really count for anything. Like you say, they get hurt, and next thing you know, they're out all off season, and, you know, they can't train properly for the upcoming season, and so maybe they just didn't, you know, put their all into it. To me, it'd be more like a vacation, you know what I mean, just go to a free trip to Hawaii, bring the kids and family, and just, you know, have a good time enjoying the change of scenery. So I doubt they ever play extremely, extremely hard, but with the threat that commissioner had, I think they had to show them, you know, had to show them a little bit different, and they did just that.
And you've got to give your boy the Sheriff, a.k.a. Peyton Manning, got to give him credit because they were speaking on that last year. Peyton Manning said, guys, we got to do something. We can't. This game means too much to let it go away. We better raise the intensity. We better play at a higher level so this game, this honor that we all receive won't go away, you know. And they played better last year. You know, they did. But this year, I was shocked. I was like, wow. I seen, because, you know, oh, man, I mean, the whole Team Sanders, Team Rice, the draft, it made it so much more interesting. And players, the teammates were on opposite teams and were tackling each other hard. And, man, I was loving it, man. It was nice to see that. Now, that's something I could say that what happened this year, I can say that's cool to see before the Super Bowl, actually, even though I still would like to see the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl. But if I have no choice, then at least if I'm seeing this before the Super Bowl, that's cool. I can deal with that. Mm-hmm. They played so much better this year.
Well, yeah, they did, man. It was straight hitting, too. That was the best part for me. And the best part, like, I guess the whole Rice versus Sanders, you know, drafting players that kind of allowed – you know, teammates to play against each other, you know, although they would be on different squads for the Pro Bowl. And, man, I guess they let out some of that energy, you know, you can't hit your own boy in practice and stuff, so they got a chance to do it, and teammates try to do damage, man. It was wild.
Did you see that hit Jamar Charles took?
Oh, did I? But the linebacker, Derek Johnson, man,
yes.
He tried to put him out.
What's Chris Collinsworth say? Big Rain said, he said he's looking at like, you've got to be kidding me. He said he's got to be thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I was tripping when he said that. That was too funny. I mean,
man,
here you have the NFL rushing leader, and Jamar Charles, the best running back in football right now, you ask me, between him and Adrian Peterson. And he has his teammate, Derek Johnson of the Chiefs, knocked him into next week almost. I mean, he hit him hard. And they said that he just came off a concussion from that playoff game.
Right.
And I was like, that's how you know they hit a play. That's how you know. He hit his teammate like that. What? I was like, oh, yeah, we got a game. Oh, yeah. Low scoring, defense. They allow man-to-man coverage now, so that now the corners and the DBs have they plan for a lot more pride because it's like, I'm responsible. You're the best receiver. You're one of the best receivers in the league. Well, I'm one of the best corners in the league. Yeah, let me see. I can man up with you now. You're my responsibility. My pride is on the line in front of all these thousands of fans. I'm not going to let you beat me one-on-one. The defensive lines were bringing it, sacks, quarterbacks under pressure. They weren't tagging the quarterbacks. They were like, they was hitting, man. It was, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is what the Pro Bowl has been missing, man. Big Ram, we got to give the NFL players, along with Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice, for helping bring this Pro Bowl back to life. We got to give them some love, man. We got to do it. That's much earned, man. Much earned. Much earned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big ups to them for that, man. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it, man. I was like, you saw that hit. Then I know you saw the one when who was that, man? T.J. Ward, one of the secondary men for the Browns, made Josh Gordon flip over.
Yeah, man. It was
wow.
Man, that action was real, man. Like teammates, my favorite part was like seeing teammates. Like he's not going to take it easy on him just because it's his teammate. I was like, yes, that is what you need. And once you see a player hit his own teammate like that, you're like, oh, well, if you're a defender, you're like, well, shoot, you just hit your teammate like that. I better hit everybody. You hit your own teammate. I can't sit here and two-arm tag one of the players on offense or running back or receiver. Like, no, I got to bring them down. You're doing this to your own teammates. Like, this ain't tag football. This ain't grab. This ain't flag football. Like, we going to win it, you know? And five was on the line. Dion wanted to win. Rice wanted to win. It was just really good for the sport, man. Let's bring Mr. Dano in and see what he thought about the Pro Bowl. Mr. Dano?
Oh, it was a good game.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a good game with my team. My side lost. I was for Dion.
You was Team Sanders. Yeah.
Yeah. They lost. But it was a good game, though. They was hitting and tackling, and I watched the game. It was a pretty good game.
One of the best Pro Bowls in a long time. Because you have a Pro Bowl is usually high scoring. You can't play man-to-man. So, like, the receivers are free to just kind of run crazy, and players don't play hard on top of it. But this year, they allowed man-to-man coverage. And the players played with a lot more intensity. Like, they were really bringing it. Like, It was a lot more enjoyable. They had a number of rule changes. Big Ryan, why don't we get into the rule changes?
Yeah, well, what were some of them now?
We know that every at the end of each quarter, at the end of each quarter, they had the 2 minute they had like the 2 minute warning, and the ball changes possession at the end of each quarter. Like each quarter is looked at as a half.
Mm-hmm.
So the ball changes possession. Team starting at the 25-yard line?
I believe it wasn't at the
25-yard line. Not the 20, but the 25.
Well, you're telling me something new here. I wasn't even aware. So.
Yeah, you must have seen the whole thing.
I think they started
at the 25, not the 20.
Not paying kick the ball.
No kickoffs.
I kind of like that.
And that's
kind of
cool. Because the kickoffs are definitely one of the highest risk plays in the NFL. Like the kickoffs and all of that hitting and all of the action and everything that's just going on during the kickoff. Like, to eliminate that eliminates a lot of risk of injuries, and on top of that, it's like, okay, we just go look at the offense and the defense, drive up and down the field, playing for pride. Like, I think it's great. I actually agree with it. Did you guys agree with eliminating the kickoff from the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, I think that was a good idea, having starting from the 25-yard line, yeah. It made it better.
Yeah. I think it's safe for the sport, like you said, and a lot of injuries do happen on special teams, and you know, being like it is, it's the Pro Bowl, and although they are trying to get it a lot better and have the players play with a lot more intensity, it was safe to take that out because you don't need anybody getting seriously hurt over a game that's really there to recognize all of the the great NFL players for their achievements throughout the year. So I'll agree with that.
Definitely, man. Like, I was loving it. And, it was funny because, like, a person that just now started getting into football that hasn't been watching, maybe this was their first year really watching, they probably was watching a Pro Bowl. It's like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, what is this? Like, it seems different, like, you know. Like, even people that's used to watching it, they ain't pay attention to the beginning. Like, a lot of people don't listen to the commentators. Like, I actually listen to the commentators. So I won't, I would have been lost. Like, hold on, what? It's first, the end of first quarter, and they call it a timeout and to change the possession at the end of the quarter, at the end of the first and the end of the third, what? You know, so. But, man,
it was
yeah, man, definitely a lot of there's a lot of changes for the best. Now I will say, I do think that the NFL does get carried away sometimes trying to change too much. Like I didn't like when they took away the force out rule. I like that because if one of my friends went back and forth for like days about that rule. Because I think he didn't he thought that it should be taken out, but I didn't. Because I'm like, if it's a 2 minute drive, the game is on the line, and a receiver catches the ball near out of bounds, and he catches it, has clear possession of the ball, and the defender pushes him out. He lands. He never loses possession of the ball. He makes a full football move, goes to the ground, rolls, and still has the ball. Like, why should the defender be rewarded? I mean, bad enough teams end up with no timeouts. You only get three per half. And I'm just like, that's just like a cheat code for the defense to me. I thought the offense should, like, be able to have that. I thought it makes the game more entertaining. Like, yeah, so now, if your team don't have any timeouts, they still got a chance, even with only 20 seconds left. You know, the first foul I thought was, like, great, and they took that away, and I really didn't like that, but I'm used to it now, but I was mad. I was mad as a fan when they took away the force out rule. That was just one rule of a few that I was like, why are they doing all of this? You know, how did you feel about the force out rule, Big Ram? Are you a fan, or you agree that they should have took it out?
I was with it. I was a little upset that they took that off. And that's exactly what that is, man. It's a cheat. It's like a Madden cheat code. Like, I mean, it's tough enough. You know, the receivers got to do that. So then for them to, like, implement that rule, I mean, what was the purpose of it, really? I never understood it. What were they trying to avoid? What were they – I never got it. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think they were just like, you know what, this game is favoring the offense too much. Let's do something to get the defense to break. Oh, okay, take out the force out rule. Okay, cool. Because, you know, they got to vote. Like, they got to board. Like, they got to vote. They can't just remove a rule because, let's say, the commissioner say, all right, this is removed. It don't work that way. Like, they got to vote, and the majority rules. And, yeah, they voted to rule it out. And I was like, wow, like, you know. Also, the kickoff, the way the onside kicks are. Now, we all know how hard it is to get an onside kick. So to make it where, because remember, like, the way it lined up is different. Now it can only be X amount of players on this side and on that side, you know. So it makes it even harder to get an onside kick because you can't, like, bunch everybody up like you used to and just be able to kind of just ram into each other. And the first, the best, whatever team is the first team to get it, they get it. Best man win, you know.
Right.
And they just took away from that. I understand they were trying to protect the players, though, and a lot of players do get injured. But at the same time, you also got to protect the integrity of the game. So I'm just disappointed. That's another rule that I was disappointed about. But once again, I'm used to it now. And we have seen some onside kicks recovered, including in the playoffs this year, in the 2014 playoffs.
Yeah.
We have seen some onside kicks recovered. So we do know that teams have found a way to still be effective with onside kicks, and that's good to know, at least, because
yeah.
I was just like, man, it's going to be, like, impossible, you know. And then remember they changed the kickoff. They moved the kickoff 5 yards up. We started getting all these kick touchbacks because I guess they was trying to keep – there's a lot of injuries happening, especially with the return man, and, you know, there's a lot of injuries happening. They wanted it to be less kick returns and more touchbacks, which there are now. But I thought, once again, that took away from the integrity of the game. So it was a number of things. The list goes on and on. You know, every year they're adjusting. But, you know, as a fan, we don't get a say in it. So you just got to learn to accept it and, you know, kind of just get used to excuse me, get used to it, which I have, but All of those rules that I just named were all rules that I disagreed with them changing when they did. Mr. Daniel, how did you feel about, you know, as far as, like, the NFL with all those rules that they were changing? Were you disappointed, or did you agree that those rules should have changed?
I'm a little disappointed with some of the rules because some of them, they shouldn't have changed some of them. It really shouldn't have.
Yeah, I was just like, man.
I think the one that I was disappointed with the most was that kicking, you know, from the 30, or was it 35? So, yeah, I mean, those kickers, man, they have cannons for legs, you know what I mean? And like you said, a lot of those were down touchbacks. The whole possibility of a kick return, man, have you seen, you know, you see how excited the game could be, boring. You know, not much going on, crowd not into it, and then you see, like, a special team, like, you're trying to run it all the way back, 100-plus yards, whatever the case may be. I mean, that's so exciting. It's probably one of the most exciting plays in football. And just, you know, you don't get that as much now that it's, like, there's so many touchbacks. People, the kickers are kicking it right through the, you know, the goalposts on the other side most of the time. So it's like it's a little disappointing.
Right, and the way teams have adjusted, if you notice, now back before they moved it 5 yards up, you would never really see a returner, a kick returner, bringing it from out the end zone. But now
right. It's
expected for the ball to mostly go to the end zone or really, really close, like the inside the five. A lot of times it'll land in the end zone. But a lot of kick returners bring it out now from the end zone because they're like, man, shoot, I'm going to get this return. Like, I don't know what's going through their minds, but they think that they got it. I don't know. I can't see from the angle they're seeing it. But for some reason, they think that they can do it, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it's a great explosive play. I believe what Jacoby Jones in the Super Bowl, when he ran that back, running that kick in the end zone.
Yeah.
You know, from all the way back in the end zone, right?
Yeah, he got lucky. He was gone.
So, I mean, it can happen, but a lot of players are like a lot of kick returners now, they're just like, you know what? And unless they get the signal not to bring it out, they're going to just bring it out. You know, they're just not going to not kick. They're not going to not return no more if just because the ball is in the end zone. But I think if I was the coach, I would tell them, look, unless it's at the tip of the end zone, unless it's right there at the tip, just automatically nail it. Because I see a lot of guys try it and end up getting tackled at like the 8-yard line, 10-yard line.
Yeah.
I want to start from the 20. So if I'm a coach, I'm saying if that ball is inside there at the end zone, if that ball is inside our own end zone, just nail it. Don't ever take the chance. Unless you really, really think you really, really see this big hole that you can't deny. You know, cause at the end of the day, you do have to trust your players to make a conscious decision to go for what they know.
And that's a big risk, man. It's a big risk. They'll come out the end zone, and before you know it, they're getting tripped up. You know what I'm saying? At the 10-yard line.
Yeah, at the 8-yard line. And you know, the coach is being static on the sideline. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Use your brain. You know?
That's definitely a risk.
But, man, you know what? One of the things I was most impressed about was the defensive lines, bro. Bringing it. The first quarter almost felt like a real game. Like, the way the defensive line men were bringing it, like, they were just, man. Quarterbacks, did you see Drew Brees' first couple of drives? They were rough. They were rough.
Yeah, they were.
Drew Brees was under pressure. He couldn't do nothing.
They
was coming for him. He was like, what, 9 or 18 passing?
Yeah, something terrible.
In a Pro Bowl? Are you kidding me? Drew Brees, 9 of 18 passing in a Pro Bowl? Come on. You know they're bringing it.
Cam Newton, he got sacked a bunch of times.
And these are the best defensive linemen in the league, so they're not going for all of that juke, go left, go right. Nah, you ain't going to be doing that to us here in the Pro Bowl, making a fool of us. They was bringing it.
And I was really excited. I hope in the future they will continue with the drafting of the players, and you know, I hope the board or I hope the commissioner saw enough to allow it to continue. Cause they were really playing. They definitely were playing. I was grateful for that.
They laid it all on the line. You can't ask for much more than that. Now, I will say there was a point in the game where it kind of the intensity started to die off a little bit, and then you seen Deion and Jay on the sideline talking like, come on, y'all. We trying to win. Come on. No, we ain't going out like that. We trying to win. Like, you see when they was talking to him, like on the sidelines, when they was talking to the reporters were talking to Jay Rice and Deion Sanders, they were saying that they were saying like they're still trying to win. Like they were saying that, like, I'm still trying to win. Like, nah, like, yeah, these players got to get together. Like, seriously.
Yeah, Deion, he definitely wanted to win. He, I remember on the sideline, he was saying, this right here is what separates good from great. And, you know, like, put it all out there. You know, you work so hard in the regular season to get this, you know, this award or, you know, come out here and really showcase your talents for the world to see, man. You gotta come correct, man. And when don't they get something for the Pro Bowl, though? Don't they get, like, $5,000 like, each player on the winning team gets, like, a couple Gs, 20 Gs or something?
No. I believe the losing team gets $27,000 and the winning team gets about
$52,000. Oh, shit. I definitely play for that.
Yeah, a piece. How we play against 67,000 for the winning team. I mean, 52, I think, and 27 for the losing team. I think, because I think it used to be like 25 and 50. I don't know. They changed it. I think it's 27 and 52 now. Don't quote me on that, but I want to say if it's not that, I'm definitely close. I'm definitely in the jurisdiction of how much they get paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's enough on the center for me.
I would go out there right now and get broke up for that type of money. I'd be like, hey, y'all can tackle me or whatever. I will play with them right now today for that kind of money. Like, I will do it. Like, so it's not no pennies. They, even though that money is like nothing compared to what they make in a season, but you can't tell me that big of a paycheck they still couldn't use. I mean, think about it. Flying their friends and family out, they can. A lot of players spend the money on that. The hotels, bring the wife and the kids out, the mother, aunt, uncle, grandfather, all of that, you know, bring the family out, show them a good time, stay at a nice hotel, nice resort or something, you know, stay for the weekend, flying back home, first class flights, all of that good stuff, top of the line hotel rooms. I mean, that's what I would spend the money on. I'm already rich anyway, and I think that's what most players do. They were saying, like, that's what a lot of players spend their money on, bringing their families out there, you know, to have a good time in Hawaii and watch them play with the greatest of the game. Like, you can't – they don't get no better than that.
Definitely don't. What was up with your boy, Philip Rivers, man, the most underrated QB in the NFL?
Philip Rivers seemed like he was rusty. He seemed like he was a little rusty. Like, he hadn't even thought about football since that devastating loss to Denver. I think he just had probably got away from football, was just dealing with, you know, his family and just wasn't thinking about football, got out there in the Pro Bowl and said, holy crap, these guys can really play. And they really trying to play. Oh, man, let me get it together. And by the time he realized what was happening, he was struggling. That's the only thing I could think of. I mean, but he wasn't the only one. A lot of quarterbacks were struggling when they first came in because nobody, I don't think they were expecting the defense to play that hard. And once the offense and the defense playing that hard, offense said, oh, man, we got to step our game up. These dudes are playing. They're not playing with us. Like, they playing for real.
Mm-hmm. You might be right about that. You know, who else was in there? I saw my boy. I was lucky enough, I think, because Brady didn't want to come to the Pro Bowl. Andrew Luck took his place. Andrew Luck did his thing. You know, he just
Brady should have come. What reason did he have not to come? Was he hurt?
No, he's because he's a sore loser like his coach.
I was about to say, he should have sounded like some Bill Belichick type stuff right there, like the.
That's all it was.
I didn't make it to the Super Bowl. He wouldn't have played in the Pro Bowl anyway if he went to the Super Bowl. So I'm like this: if I didn't make it to the Super Bowl, I surely want to play in the Pro Bowl because this is my last chance to shine. I mean, I'm not going to turn down that money anyway. I'm not going to disappoint my fans, and I'm gonna get out there and play with the, you know, have a great time while doing it. Like, I can't see why any player, unless they were injured, you know. I think some players probably, like, really think about, maybe Brady's thinking about it's not worth the risk. I don't know. It's just, but Peyton Manning played last year. He had a great year last year.
That's right.
And he played in the Pro Bowl. He was part of the reason why they started playing better last year.
I don't know. It makes you form a certain opinion about certain players. There was no reason for him not not to attend, you know, just because he just didn't want to. He ended up going to the Bahamas with his wife, the supermodel. You know what I mean? He's the fan for his fans. I'm sure it's a lot of Brady fans out there. They want to see him. And he should have did that for the fans' sake anyway.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, I just can never. That's just like if you know you won an award like a Grammy, and all those people want to see their favorite star get up there and have an acceptance speech, and you're not there. If you aren't sick or not, nothing you really had to do, just like, ah, nah, I'm good. Nah, I pass. This is like, man, it's so disappointing, you know? Like, it's a fan. Like, some of these, you got diehard fans that just want to tune in for that special, for their favorite player. And you're just not there just because you don't want to.
No,
I feel that.
Not,
I feel the same way about the Grammys, Oscars, Pro Bowls, All-Star games, all of that. Like, when it comes to receiving an honor, you should embrace it with open arms. You are blessed with this amazing talent, and you got all of these fans that are crazy about you that just want to see you, and you just turn it down when you didn't have to. You didn't have any other obligations that were more important. You just turned it down. And it's just like, wow. Like, you know, just letting down the fans alone should be enough. You know?
If they want to find players, they should start finding them for that.
That's a good idea, Big Ryan. That's a good idea. I think players should be fined for not coming out to the Pro Bowl just because they don't want to. I guess the league is like, shoot, right? Somebody else is willing, so they don't care. But I think they should be fined.
I think so. I mean, if they can fine players for not picking up with part of media days and see what's going on with Marshawn Lynch. They try to find him $50,000 for not talking to the media.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Marshawn Lynch. Like, he never talks to the media, but his team is going to the Pro Bowl, and I haven't seen any media coverage from him. Has he still not spoken with the media, and he's going to the Super Bowl?
He went. They said they would take the $50,000 fine away if he spoke to the media, you know, his second chance he got. So I think he went there just for that. And he pretty much said that. I'm only here because they said he would take the fine away, so here I am. I don't think he answered many questions. I don't think he did much anything. He just showed up.
He never speaks to the media, and I'm just like, I know he'd be getting fined for that. He got to be getting fined for that. Like, he never speaks to the media.
That's crazy, man.
That's my man. That's beast mode. Like, man. I mean, I can't say I would be a fan of the media. I probably wouldn't want to speak to them neither, but I don't know if I would want to deal with the consequences from the league. Keep getting fined. Now, I don't know if he gets fined or not, because they don't talk much about Marshawn Lynch other than when he's on the field, because he doesn't talk. He doesn't get, so the media doesn't really pay him much attention because he doesn't pay them no attention. And I, you know what? At the end of the day, I do respect him for that. I respect the fact that he's like, nope, not doing it. Oh, well. I respect it. It's kind of odd because he's like the only player I see do that, but I respect it. I do respect it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, teach his own. He could do that, but, I mean, I just think from the fine aspect of it, the NFL can fine him for, you know, doing that, then they should also implement fines for players who get voted. Now, these are the fan votes to see their favorite player, and they just not show up. I mean, it's kind of like a, you know, spit in the face to the fans.
How about Tony Gonzalez, man, the career he's had, and to see his career end like that with his, what, 14th Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he had a lot of stars on his jersey, didn't he?
Yes, he did, man. To me, by far, the greatest tight ends who ever played the game, Tony Gonzalez, by far. It's going to be a while before you see another Tony Gonzalez, people. That's for sure.
Well, no doubt, man. He was something special. He sure was. I wish he got the privilege or the honor to go out just in a little bit more glory. You know, disappointing season. He'd already thought about retiring and said he would come back for another season just to have the season that the Falcons did. It's like, man, that's kind of tough.
But you know what?
He gave
it his all. What was you saying, Big Ryan?
I mean, I still appreciate him for giving us all, you know, every play, every drive. And that just shows the kind of player he is. And definitely Hall of Famer. That's for sure. First ballot all day when it's time.
There's no doubt about that. He always left it out on the field. You can never second guess his effort. Like, he laid it all out on the field. I mean, even like this year, he still had a really, really good season. Like, he had like 83 catches all those years. I don't even remember how many years he played. I lost count. I know he played for a lot of years. You remember how many years he played?
I want to say 14. I could be wrong. I'm quoting.
I mean, he played a lot of years. Like, he's got like 14 Pro Bowls. I think he might have played more than 14 seasons. I don't know. I know the man has been in the league for a long time, and he still plays at a high level. And, you know, it was just really good to see him be able to end his career like that in a Pro Bowl. You know, and like I said, man, he still can play. Like, the Falcons had a horrible year, but Tony Gonzalez still was doing his thing. Like, Tony Gonzalez still was playing good. Like, still making big catches, making game-saving touchdown catches and big first-down grabs. I'm like, wow. I have not seen many players at his age still play at that high of a level. That is incredible.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, man, he had a great career, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. At the tight end position, too.
Definitely, man. Like, no doubt, man. This was one of my favorite. I was thinking, like, you know what? I'm thinking I might have done if I was him. I think I would have said, shoot, you know what? You got to think about it. What team wouldn't want Tony Gonzalez, especially if he's willing to take a pay cut because of his age and everything? Shoot, he could have went and played for the Patriots or the Broncos. The Broncos probably wouldn't need him because of their tight end is insane right now. But, like, play for a team like Seattle, a team that, like, has a really great chance of going back to the Super Bowl next year. Like, you know what? I'm going to play one more year because I want to get to a Super Bowl. If he would have took a pay cut, he could have went to the Steelers. Like, any team that has, like, a solid core that has a good chance of making it. Like, I don't know. I think I wouldn't want to end my career without at least playing in a big game. I think in that situation, I think I would want to, like, take a pay cut and go to a team that got a really, really good chance of going all the way.
And who won them? Like, who?
There's not that many teams that wouldn't take them, that's for sure.
Right.
1 year, maybe $4 million or something. $3, $4 million 1 year. One of the best tight ends to ever play the game to really help your offense. He can make the big catches. You know, like Chicago, you know, they got two great receivers. Imagine him there. It's just the edge of the offense. With Marshall and Jeffries. Imagine.
Oh, yeah, like, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffries.
Man. Yes, the only thing about that is the quarterback situation, the whole Jay Cutler thing can be shaky at times. Jay Cutler can be shaky at times, but that would have been a great offense other than the fact that Jay Cutler can be shaky. I would have loved to see him to read the cover. Wow, that would have been insane.
Old Gonzo.
Did you see that catch the Deshaun Jackson, yeah. Did you see that catch he made? That was nice. You see that catch? From your boy Andrew Luck.
Oh yeah, the end zone one. Yeah, man. He went up.
Yeah, that was the flea flicker, right?
Yeah, he went up and got that, man.
Yeah, that was, man. That was one of the highlights of the game, man. That was a great. I did not, because he's not known for making those type of catches. Like, he just beats you with speed. But in that situation, he just beat them with eye coordination and timing, and just that was just a great play. I was like one of those. It was like a Randy Moss type play. I was like, okay, Jackson, I hear that. You know,
yeah,
he
definitely went up and got it.
Yes, he did. Over two defenders, both right there with him. He just, give me that.
Give me that.
Let me get that. You don't need that.
It was exciting, man. Now I'm.
What was that, Big Ram?
Now I'm looking forward to the Pro Bowl next season. They can't do any more less than what they did previous past Pro Bowl. So they got to give
exactly.
us more now.
Exactly. Definitely. I still would like to see them take it back to after the Super Bowl so the players can, the players that play in the Super Bowl can play. That's my only thing. But I don't think they're going to take it back. I really don't. I don't think they're going to go back.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I wish they would, but yeah.
For the simple reason that they felt the reason why they put it before the Super Bowl was because of the ratings. So I don't see them going back. So. You know, and still hoping for them to put it back. And, you know, we're not the only people. There are a lot of other people that want them to put it back behind the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. But since the possibility of that is very, very slim, let's just focus on a positive. Like, how much better they're playing. Now, I'm just wondering, are they going to bring it like that next year? Can they match that next year? You know, like, will they have the draft again? I think the draft was a success. The players loved it. Players were like, you know the whole rivalry thing. And it's like, you see your teammate going to the other team, especially if your teammate is a corner and you're a receiver, and you know that y'all probably going to be guarding each other. And the only time y'all really do it is in practice. And now you get to really play full on. Like, you know, like, It's a lot of pride online. They played with a lot of pride, a lot of passion this year, and it was really good. It was really cool to see it.
Yeah, man, it was good.
Yeah, man, I have no complaints, Mr. Dino.
It was a good game. I really enjoyed it. I think they're gonna do the same thing they did last year, have the draft and pick two football players to be the coaches. I think they're gonna do the same thing they did this year, next year. I think it was a good idea.
And I hope it's Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice again, because they had the right personality, the right everything, you know, to like the. You know, they know each other. They're from the same era. They played on the same team before. So much pride on the line for both of them to beat each other. You know.
And they had a good time going.
They had a good time. I wish Deion Sanders would have shaved that ugly gray scruff off.
What in the world was that? Who was that? I thought I was seeing things. I thought, like, my TV, I need to adjust the color or something. Wasn't like my TV or something. I'm like, no, no way Deion Sanders got a full gray beard, because he's always shaved. Like, every time he's on TV, back when he said it's the Pro Bowl, he's out in Hawaii, he's just going to have fun, and yeah. Jerry Rice had a few great ones, too, but Deion had the whole thing, like his whole everything. Like, his whole chin was just full of gray. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was a bad look, man. I expect that from Jerry. You know, he's usually like that. That's usually how you see him. But you never see Prime like that. He's always clean shaved, clean cut, fresh to death in the suits, you know. This.
I think he thought he looked good.
He said, heck, with
he thought
him,
he
man.
Looked good.
I don't know, man.
No, he doesn't like that. I think he thought he looked good.
Bad move on Primetime Sports, for real.
I was tripping. I was man. And you, hey, Big Rand, you know what? Yeah, to capitalize on what we was talking about Gonzalez, I just looked it up. He was actually drafted in 1997. Wow.
Wow, 97,
he was drafted for the Chiefs
for real?
In 1997.
Wow. Okay.
That's how long he played.
Damn, what's that about? 17 years, 16 years.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Now, look, 14 Pro Bowls. I mean, he was in the Pro Bowl nearly every year he was in the league.
Every year in the league, right?
Wow.
Like, that's crazy, right?
Much respect to him.
NFL.com.
He's going in the Hall of Fame.
Experience.
He's
17th season. This was the 17th season.
He's going in the NFL Hall of Fame.
37 years old.
Damn. Mm-hmm. I think he could still play, man.
I wish the Ravens would get him, man. I wish the Ravens would have got him. That would have been, man. You know? Man. Would have been nice. But, man, I just want to say, Big Ryan.
Said Tony Gonzo, man. He's going to be missed, man. I'm sure he'll probably get some kind of NFL analyst job or something.
He's a really well-spoken guy. He's got a guaranteed job in broadcasting, like guaranteed. If he wants it, and a lot of players do take it because they pay pretty well, and other than being a business owner, having a successful business, you're not going to really make more money than working this, you know, in broadcasting, you know, as like an analyst or commentator or whatever. Like, you're not going to make much more money than that, you know. As you know, that's the next best thing to being a player. So, that's definitely guaranteed. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like, you know, I was like, all right, you know, players that I like from both sides. But I started to actually get a little disappointed. Like, damn, I kind of wanted Team Sanders to win towards the end. And Team Rice just came back, got the touchdown, went for the two-point conversion. And, you know, Deion was saying he going to go for the one. Like, he going to play conservative. Jerry Rice was like, nah, we going for that too, man. We trying to win. Like, you know, like, we ain't trying to go into overtime or no Pro Bowl. And they pulled it off. But, you know, of course, you had the coaches that, you know, played a role. The Panthers coach and the coach was the coach for, I forgot which team they were coaches for, but it was the Panthers coach and the Colts coach. That were the two coaches, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Oh, what the?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Rivera.
Yeah.
Rivera and Chuck Pagano, you're right.
Yeah. Did you see that speech that Chuck gave them, the players? I was surprised to hear that type of speech for a Pro Bowl.
For a Pro Bowl,
like a
right?
Team for, like a speech for his team, like before a playoff game. So I was like, wow. I hear that.
Of a coach here.
That's how you know. That's a coach I would want to play for. A coach that gives that type of speech for a Pro Bowl, what? Yeah, I'll play for him. I'll put it all on the line, too. Man, this Josh Gordon from the Cleveland Browns, his future is bright. 87 receptions, 1,600 yards, 9 touchdowns, and he missed 2 games. And he got 1,600 yards. out of 87 catches, most people get like over 100 yards to get that many, over 100 catches to get that many yards. He had 87 receptions with 1,600 yards, and he missed two games. He could have broke the record in yards possibly if he played those other two games. This young man, only 22, he's only 22 years old, 6'3", 225. This young man has a very bright future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I only wish that he was on a better squad. I mean, he's already shining, you know, with the Browns, but imagine him on a better squad, you know, a different town where there's a lot more popping. I mean, nothing but great things for him. Or maybe it's best that he stays with the Browns. That way, you know, there's so many sized people on that squad. He has no choice but to shine. Maybe he's guaranteed
to shine, but nobody's sleeping on him no more. He made it to the Pro Bowl. His numbers are incredible. Rest assured, nobody's sleeping on him now. Like, people know who he is now. So, you know, it's some new stars in the league right now. I thought Alex Smith played really good. He had a solid game. You know, Alex Smith actually had a good year. He played great. He had a good year, but he played great in the in that playoff game, though. Like, I'm still impressed with that playoff performance he put up. Alex Smith, man, he's really good, man. Like, you know, it's so many players, man. It's so much to talk about. We'll be all night, like, all these good players and all these new up-and-coming stars and just a lot going on, man. The league is in a good place right now. It's in good hands. A lot of these young men are stepping up, and they're really bringing it, and they're just, you know, so there's a lot to look forward to. And I look forward to the 2015 Pro Bowl. I hope it's as good as the 2014 Pro Bowl. Other than that, man, I just can't wait for the Super Bowl.
I can't wait. Man.
You know, it's days away. Seattle against Denver. They said this is the first time, I don't know if it was the first time period or the first time in a long time, that the top offense in points and yards is going against the top defense in points and yards allowed. So those are the both major categories. In those categories. So for offense, you know, the amount of yards that you get in the game and the amount of points you get in the game are by far the most significant. And vice versa in defense, with the yards allowed and points allowed. And, you know, to see the top few offense and defense play each other is like, wow. You can't ask for a more anticipated Super Bowl than that. I mean, the top offense against the top defense. I mean, Peyton Manning has not played a defense like this all year. It's going to be interesting to see, but 2 weeks of preparation, you know, Richard Sherman and his antics, you know, this is going to be crazy. I wonder who he's going to be guarding most of the game.
Probably Demaryius Thomas.
I think so, because Thomas, he's like big, and he's like the biggest matchup problem for like teams, you know. So I could see him being on him the majority of the time. I could see that. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, Sherman is a beast. Don't be surprised if Sherman stay on him the whole game. Don't be surprised if he has like 3 catches for 26 yards. I'm just saying. Don't be a big fan. I'm telling you, they're lucky Peyton Manning got so many weapons, man, because whoever Richard Sherman, Peyton Manning is smart. I doubt if Peyton Manning is going to try Richard Sherman. He might try him once or twice. He's not going to throw to Richard Sherman's side that much in the game. And I'm willing to make a wager on it. You want to make a wager, Big Rand, that Peyton Manning is not going to throw to Richard Sherman's side that much?
Definitely
not going to throw at his side more than 5 times. If he throws Richard Sherman's way 5 times, I would be shocked. Like, my jaw would drop to the floor. Like, wow, he tried him 5 times. I'm not talking about something like 5 yards. I'm talking about something over 10 yards. It got to be over 10 yards to count.
Nah, I wouldn't jump on that. I mean, Peyton Manning, he throws to whoever's open. Yeah, he doesn't have any set receivers on who he's throwing the ball to before the ball is hiked. So, I mean, if Sherman is playing tight D on Demaryius Thomas, and I mean, he's not going to be open. I mean, he's not going to get thrown to. So I couldn't take that. I do think Peyton Manning is going to try him, though. I mean, I do think that. But I can't make no wagers on that there.
Yeah, you're a smart man. I just want to see what Beast Mode going. Like, that offense going to have to put up numbers, man. Like, they got to put up. I'm saying, I think Seattle needs to put up nothing short of 27 points. I think if Seattle scores 27 or more, they have a great chance of winning. I think they have a great chance of winning. And I think they need to hold Denver to under 30. If they can hold Denver to under 30 and score 27 or more, I think they have a really, really great chance of winning. If the Seattle offense shows up and plays well, Seattle, I think, will win. Like, there's a great chance. They got a better chance of winning than losing, I think. Like, I would bet money on Seattle winning. Like, let's say, for instance, if they have, like, 450 yards of offense, Russell Wilson, 3 touchdown passes, Beast Mode, 2 touchdown runs, maybe a pick somewhere in there. Like, I think they win. Like, if they can just put up points and generate, they got to generate two things they got to do. They got, because we already expect the defense to bring it. They got two weeks of preparation for the best defense in the league. Come on. They need to score points offensively, and they need to, generate a turn. At least, they got to get at least one turnover. Like, if they don't get no turnovers, Denver's going to win. I really think Denver's going to win if they don't turn the ball over. I think they'll win.
It's going to be a great game, man.
What you think? If Denver doesn't get a turnover, do you think they win automatically if they don't get a turnover?
If Denver doesn't turn the ball over, do they win automatically?
Yeah. Do you think they win?
That's a fair assessment. I think Denver's going to win regardless.
I bet you do.
It's just too many factors, man. It's too many factors. I don't know. I mean, it's just my opinion, of course. You know, but it's just too many factors. There's nobody on the Seahawks squad has even been to a Super Bowl. And you have quite a few players on Broncos who've been to a Super Bowl. Just looking at their last games played, you know, the Seahawks, yes, they won the game, but they didn't do a whole lot, you know, like, compared to the 49ers. Like, 49ers are supposed to win that game.
The
49ers
had that. The game-winning drive. The 49ers, if Kaepernick hadn't tried Sherman, we might be talking about the 49ers right now in the Broncos. He made that one crucial mistake that he, rest assured, he's thinking about it right now as we speak. Right now, he's sitting in Cali like, man, why in the world did I throw it to Sherman, man? Why? You know? But you're right.
Tough,
I think Denver has showed more dominance in the playoffs, but Denver has not faced Seattle yet. And don't forget, Seattle's also 13-3.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
They just
went
in two different fashions. Denver wins the offense, Seattle wins the defense.
It's just certain things I saw, man. It was just certain things I saw. The way Broncos beat the Patriots, like, with ease, man. Patriots are no slouch. They beat them with ease. There was no, here we are, the last drive. Man, they did whatever they wanted to do to the Patriots, man. That's very rare. You don't see any team dominate the Patriots like that. And it's just the season that Peyton Manning is having right now, breaking all these records, just doing everything whenever he wants. Just, think it's going to be a tight game, man. I just think it's going to be tight. And Seahawks offense is going to have to show up. They're going to have to. They're going to have to show up. They can't just rely on the defense. But I don't know. I just see Denver, man. I just see Denver. The whole pool long, whole season long, I only picked against them one time, and that's when he played my Colts. So I was it was all the way, man. We'll see Sunday. We shall see.
Yeah, and I do agree with you. I think Denver did make it look easy when they played the Patriots, which was kind of surprising. The Patriots made a run in the end, but it was just too late. They just didn't have enough, man. And Denver did dominate more in the playoffs than Seattle. Seattle almost didn't make it, but they did, and it's going to be interesting. Mr. Dano, your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday coming up in just a few days. Mr. Dano, your thoughts on the Super Bowl, your expectations.
I want Seattle to win. I got Seattle winning. And I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle for them, but I think Seattle can do it. Denver's quarterback, I can't think of his name now. Keep him contained. Peyton Manning contained. If they can keep him contained and keep him from putting pressure on him, keep him from throwing that ball, they got a chance to win. They must put the pressure on Peyton Manning and keep him contained.
I gotta agree.
That's going to be a hard task too, man. Peyton Manning hasn't been sacked all playoffs. Not saying that Seattle won't reach him, but I mean, it's so many tough tasks for Seattle to accomplish. They got to do so much, man. They have to play perfect football. You give Peyton Manning any kind of time, you know what he'll do to you? He'll eat you alive.
Yeah,
he has probably one of the quickest releases in the game.
Right. At the end of the day, like the Ravens last year in the playoffs, Peyton Manning can be beat.
Oh, he can't. Right, he can be beat. He's not unstoppable. No, he's not. But it's so hard for you to do all those things right. I mean, you have to do everything right. I mean, you got to keep all his wide receivers on lockdown. I mean,
that's what they're gonna have to do.
It's a big task, man. It's going to be a big task for both teams. You got to play perfect football. Seahawks got to play perfect football. Broncos has to play perfect football. Can't be any mistakes. Everybody got to do their job, and may the best team win.
Hey, Big Ryan, you know what? The crazy part, I don't think Denver has to play as great as Seattle. I think Seattle has to play great. I think Denver has to play solid. Not even necessarily great, but solid. And Seattle has to be great because there's no comparison to Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson other than that Russell Wilson has scrambling ability. So, I mean, with the way Denver's defense has been playing really great, just like Seattle's, I mean, you look at that, you factor that in, I mean, I think that Seattle is the team that has to play great. And Denver just has to play solid. Solid meaning don't turn the ball over and don't turn the ball over and score touchdowns. Don't allow Seattle to light up the scoreboards. But, you know, just try to score close to 30. They probably want to score 30. I think they need 30, you know, to ensure that they'll probably win. I just think that Denver needs to play solid and Seattle needs to play great. I think there's more pressure on Seattle. Come on, man. 55 touchdown passes in one season? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. The most passing yards and passing touchdowns in a season.
That's right. So I wouldn't leave it to chance. What Denver has to do, if they can put up 55 touchdowns, make sure there's no way that they're going to even have a chance of coming back. That's what Peyton and the Broncos have to do, so they can't just play solid. They gotta be even more greater than they've been all season.
Yeah, I mean, both teams gonna have to bring it. I really feel firm in that decision, though. Mr. Dan, how do you feel about that? Do you think that that Seattle, that do you think that Denver has to play great, like the best game of the year, as opposed to Seattle? Do you think that Denver faces the same pressure?
Yeah, because I think Seattle will be ready for them, yep.
Ooh, that's what I like to hear. Okay. I don't know, man. I don't know. If that's what Mr. Daniel said, man, then I might got to, you know, I don't know. I might got to agree with that, man, you know.
Yeah, they're going to have to bring it like they ain't never bring it before. They're going to have to, as Russell said before, they're going to have to become King Bring It. They're going to have to
bring
it like
nobody. You already know Mr. Daniel's calling card, man. I might gotta change what I said. I don't know, man. but seriously, I really do think that Seattle's gonna have to be outstanding. And my only reason for that, y'all, is the comparison of Russell Wilson to Peyton Manning. Like, all right, Richard Sherman is on Demaryius Thomas, right? You still got Decker and Wes Walker, great receivers, and Julian Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just too many weapons. Like, Seattle does not have the same weapons on offense. I do think beast mode is better than all of Denver's running backs, but other than that, it's not enough to cancel out. Like, it doesn't cancel it out and make it even. Like, it's just Peyton Manning has too many receivers, and on top of that, he is too great. Like,
it doesn't cancel out. So, I mean, that would be the most fatal mistake for Denver. You know, let's take a boxer, for example. If I know I'm so much greater of a boxer than you, does that mean I don't have to train as hard for the upcoming fight? Or should I train just as hard, like, you know, any other fight?
Of course they're going to have to. They better. If they sleep in Seattle is going to win.
All right, then. So Denver,
both teams
got
to be right.
Denver has to play. They have to play just as hard or even harder than they play any other game this season.
Right.
The guarantee.
See, I don't know if you misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm just saying is that Seattle, like, all right, if they both have a subpar game, right, I think Denver wins. Like, Seattle needs to play is more, like, Seattle is more pressure on them, to me, to play a little better. Like, there's more room for error for Denver because of their ability to put up points. I mean, we've seen what Seattle's performance was in the playoffs as opposed to Denver's. It was more dominant. And on top of that, Denver was playing great defense. On top of, you know, their offense, I was actually more impressed with their defense in the playoffs than their offense, but we know what their offense is capable of. I mean, Julius Thomas, you got Wes Welker, you got Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas, you got solid running game, Peyton Manning, by far the best quarterback in the league this year, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, man, lucky for Seattle, they got the great defense. Lucky for them, they're one of the best corners in the league. I'd say between him and Reeves is definitely the best two corners in the league. But lucky for that, and hopefully they really bring it. The effort is going to be there. It's just the performance. Effort is one thing. Performance is another. Peyton Manning has experience. This is his third Super Bowl. And shockingly, Peyton Manning's Super Bowl numbers are not great. But this is a new Peyton Manning, a new team. I think if there's any year that Peyton Manning would have great Super Bowl numbers, it would be this one because Peyton Manning's Super Bowl numbers are not great.
Yeah, a point there.
They're not, you know. So will this be the year that Peyton Manning comes to the Super Bowl and maybe breaks a Super Bowl record against Now, Peyton Manning comes to the Super Bowl and throws for 460 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions against the top defense in the league. I'm just like, you know what, I'm done. Peyton Manning is just the best quarterback of the era. Like, it's just, you can't even take it from him at that point. Because, shockingly, Joe Flacco was saying one of the best Super Bowl performances as far as quarterback that I've seen in a long time.
Like, Joe Flacco was, like, better than, like, those Tom Brady Super Bowl performances and the Peyton Manning Super Bowl performances. So, I mean, just so many things, the fact that ending a Super Bowl with 2 weeks preparation, you're not going to see quarterbacks just come and light it up. You know, like, it just ain't going to happen all the time. You know, a lot of times it's solid defense, big turnovers, and crucial points in the game, stuff like that, that really factor in. You know, it's just going to, I could talk about this all night. It's just going to be really, really interesting to see the turnout. I just can't wait, man. My eyes are going to be glued. But I'm not going to lie. I'm a DVR freak. And I know a lot of people like watching the Super Bowl commercials, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll probably will watch the game from behind. Like, I'll probably, like, watch the game, like, 30, 40 minutes from behind just to fast forward the advertisements because I'm trying to see the action. I'm not trying to see all these advertisements. I don't know. Are you back on Super Bowl advertisements, Ryan?
Yeah, man. I look forward to them just as much as I do the Super Bowl, man. Of course, I like the football action the most. But yeah, man, them little commercials, man, they're something else. I can't wait to see everything. Halftime, Superman Bruno Mars do his thing at halftime along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Man, it's just gonna be great all the way across the board, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Mr. Dino, you big on the Super Bowl commercials?
No, not really. I like the game. I wanna see the game. And that's the game.
I hear that.
I don't really care too much for the halftime. I want to see the game. I want to see a winner.
you talking my style now, man. Like, I'm trying to get to the action, man. Like, I watch, Big Ryan, I'm not going to lie to you. I watch every game on DVR, like, I'll probably watch it like 30, 40 minutes from behind. I still catch up by the end of the game, but like I really like to watch the games from behind so I can fast forward the advertisements. And I know there'll be some great Super Bowl commercials probably. I'm just not pressed for Super Bowl commercials. Like all I really care about is the game. It's funny because I had a friend over, right? We watched. It wasn't the Ravens Super Bowl. It was the Super Bowl before that. What was the Super Bowl before that? It was the Giants and the Patriots. And what, the 2012 Super Bowl? Was that the Giants and the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we watched right. That one. He's like, what look, right, so I watched the game from like 45 minutes behind, you know, and like, so I'm fast-forwarding the advertisements. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm fast-forwarding the advertisements. He's like, why? So this is the best part. I'm like, I can't do it. You know how I do it. Like, come on, you know me too long, man. Like, you know I cannot take advertisements. Like, I had to fast forward it. Like, I don't know, man. It's just the DVR, man. Like, it's like a cheat code to watch the game, but it's like, I love it. Why wouldn't you want to use, you know, like, why wouldn't you want to, like, do that? Like, why would you want to just keep the action going? It's like the game shark of football, man. Game shark of sports, man. I love it. I can't even lie, man.
Man, this is going to be good, man. I can't wait. It's almost here.
It's almost here, man. And it's just going to be real interesting. Big Ryan, any Super Bowl party announcements? You're not throwing the Super Bowl party?
No.
I expect you to throw one every year.
No, I don't know if it's a Super Bowl party. Super Bowl party announcements. I don't know, man. I might throw something on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah, man, what's up? Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be definitely interesting, man, as we winding down on the last game of the year, the biggest game in sports. And it's been, you know, a really, really good year of football. And, you know, this NFL weekly wrap-up, you know, our first year doing this, but it's been really great, man. And, you know, definitely shout-out to Ultimate Sports Talk for bringing us on and, you know, introducing us to a new fan base and meeting some other hosts on, you know, through Ultimate Sports Talk, other good hosts that talk about football, basketball, and other sports on UltimateSportsTalk.com. So you definitely want to check them out, man. And it's definitely been a pleasure, man. Super Bowl is here, man. One game left, man. One recap left, Big Ren. And then football is gone for the year, and we got to go through withdrawal for another year, man.
Man, we'll find something. We'll find something to keep us going.
I'm really glad I like basketball because basketball definitely helps hold me over until football season is back. And unfortunately, a lot of football fans don't like basketball, and that just sucks for them because you really have nothing to look forward to. You know, if you're not a basketball fan, you really have nothing to look forward to.
It sucks to be them.
You're a basketball fan, Big Ryan?
Man, I'm a sports fan. I watch basketball, football. I watch baseball.
Oh, man.
Boxing. I just like sports, man. That's what I do.
So you're going to be straight, then. You're going to be straight.
Yeah, we'll be good. You know, just keeping up, and I'm always checking out the latest news on my man Floyd Mayweather. And
I was about to say, I can't wait for the next Floyd fight, man. I can't wait for the next Floyd fight.
Right, you know, so it's always something that'll, you know, keep us looking forward to until the next one. You know, it's always something out there.
Boy. And you know what's funny? I heard people saying, like, I heard someone saying recently, like, something about Floyd still should fight Pacquiao, and I think at this point no one cares about Floyd fighting Pacquiao. Because Pacquiao got knocked out. Ever since Pacquiao got knocked out, unconscious, like, put to sleep, however you want to put it, like, and Floyd is still undefeated, and he got knocked out by somebody that Floyd dominated easily, no one really cares about Pacquiao and Floyd. Would that excite you now, Big Randa, a Pacquiao-Floyd fight? I'm not too excited about it anymore. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I think it's definitely one of those fights that people still want to see. It's just as far as the way it's being dragged out. It's really losing a lot of steam. I would still pay to watch it, but I don't expect it to happen anytime soon, that's for sure. I don't expect it to happen at all, to be honest with you.
They messed up money up, man. That could have been the biggest fight since probably Ali Frazier or Tyson Holyfield, man. Like, man, they messed that up, man. I was disappointed about that. But before we wrap it up, man, Peyton Manning in two Super Bowls, Peyton Manning, 247 passing yards, one touchdown, one pick against the Bears, 333 passing yards, one touchdown, one pick against the Saints. One win, one loss, a total of 580 passing yards, only two touchdowns and two interceptions in two Super Bowl performances. Peyton Manning has something to prove. It is going to be so interesting to see how he matches up against the number one defense in the league. It's going to be interesting, y'all. In a couple of days, is going down, and next week we will have the official recap for the Super Bowl, and it's going to be so much to talk about, man, so much. Unless it's a blowout, but I don't see it being a blowout either way, so.
It's going to be a game.
Yes, it is, man. I look forward to it, man, definitely. Man, so it's been good, man. I've really enjoyed the season. I enjoyed the Pro Bowl. Once again, shout out to the NFL players, Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders. I almost forgot we were talking about the Pro Bowl. I almost forgot because, you know, so amped up about the Super Bowl. But, you know, shout out to the players and Jerry Rice and everybody for putting together that Pro Bowl performance, man. Definitely, man. Definitely was pleased with that performance.
And okay, before we close, I just want to say once again, don't forget to check out NFL Weekly Wrap-Up by logging on to UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can also hear NFL Weekly Wrap-Up and other shows from It's Real Talk Radio by visiting blogtalkradio.com/TayReal.
No doubt, Tay. And as always, remember, you can catch the NFL Weekly Wrap-Up live on air by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/TayReal or via phone by dialing 347-838-9540 on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's right, man. Catch that live show if you can, man. It's nothing like hearing the show live. It's nothing like hearing it live in the act, and live in the action, man. That's the key thing right there, live. Catch that live show if you can. And, you know, just special thanks to everyone who's been supporting us and listening to the shows and UltimateSportsTalk.com, all the other sports talk hosts that, you know, bring it every week. And I posted a tweet that was saying that, you know, I shouted all the sports talk hosts out on a tweet. You know, it's motivation. It really motivates me to bring it, hearing other people bring it. And, you know, we all in this together, man. We all represent the same cause. So, you know, it's all love from It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real.
Yeah, and I'm your co-host, Big Ran.
And definitely shout out to Mr. Dano.
Hey.
Yes, sir. We will see y'all for the Super Bowl recap next week. And it's definitely been a pleasure. So until the Super Bowl recap, we will see y'all. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your support.
UltimateSportsTalk.com. Peace.